Ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to the Think and Grow Rich call. It is terrific Tuesday, September 25th, 2012. My name is Paul Hutchings, dialing in from Blackfoot, Idaho, and I feel like it is a miracle to be alive. I'm excited to be alive. I'm grateful for this life force that's pumping through my body and my soul and my mind. I'm grateful for the inspiration that comes to me. I'm grateful to be on this call with each of you who, by the way, are seekers, seekers of knowledge, seekers of truth, seekers of finding a better way, seekers of getting more out of life. And I commend you for that. I respect you for that. I have so much admiration for you because of who you are. No matter where you're at in your entrepreneurial journey, whether you're just getting started, whether you're midway, whether you're aspiring leader or whether you're a top leader in our profession of home-based business, I have respect for you because somewhere along the way you've made some decisions that might have been a little bit tough. You made some decisions to be different. You made some decisions to go against the flow. You made some decisions to ignore the naysayers, to ignore the criticism. You made the decision to be your own person and follow your inner voice and do things that were different, that were above average, that were extraordinary. And by the way, getting on this call is one of those decisions. So I respect you. I love you. I appreciate you. And I'm really excited for the message of the call today. You know, it's very fascinating to me how inspiration comes. A lot of times, I'll be thinking about an issue, thinking about a problem, maybe during the evening time, talking it over with some of my trusted advisors, going to bed with the issue on my mind. And then I'll wake up in the morning, and every morning when I wake up, I read over the content of the call that we're going to cover. And many, many times, it's fascinating to me. Again, I'll use the word miraculous because it seems miraculous to me. Many, many times, this problem that I've been mulling over in my mind is addressed by Dr. Napoleon Hill in that very piece of content that we are to cover for that day. That's one of the ways inspiration comes to me. And you know what happened to me last night? Thinking about an issue, thinking about decisions, thinking about things that need to be done. And I wake up this morning and I glance at the chapter for today, or the piece of content, I should say. We're not going through the whole chapter, but the piece of content is on leadership. And believe it or not, that's the exact thing that I've been thinking about is leadership. What is an effective leader? What kind of decisions does a leader make? Sometimes leaders come into situations where they have to make tough decisions. And sometimes you gotta know how to make the right decisions. And even though they're tough, you gotta make them and you gotta move forward. So as I woke up this morning and I glanced at the content, I got this smile on my face. As I have many times, as I've opened up this book, Think and Grow Rich, and as I've pondered how Dr. Napoleon Hill wrote this book over 100 years ago, and I felt a sense of kinship with this author, because he's helped me to solve so many of the problems in my life, seemingly right when I need the answers to those problems. So what I'll do is I'll go through the content of what we're going to cover on the call, and then I'll get up and I'll go to the gym. And I'll, depending upon what day it is, I usually, do weights Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and I'll do cardio Tuesday and Thursday. And this morning I'm on the treadmill and I'm doing cardio and I'm listening to, energetic music. And what happens to me sometimes is as I get this little, piece of inspiration from Dr. Napoleon Hill, and then as I'm on the treadmill, things seem to clarify for me. That this is one of the great places that I personally get inspiration in my life is when I'm on the treadmill and I'm running and I've got, good music in my head and I'm thinking. Or maybe I should say I'm not thinking because I've already done the thinking. I did the thinking the night before and I did the thinking, the morning before I got on the treadmill. So maybe it's just the fact that when I'm on the treadmill, somehow my mind seems to clear and put itself in a state that's open to being receptive. And today that happened to me. As I was on the treadmill, I was thinking about things in my life and thinking about things in my business and pondering what it means to be a leader, this idea came to me and it clarified my path. And I'm just so grateful that that stuff comes to me. And I'm so grateful that that's available to each of us in our lives. I do believe in inspiration. I do believe in infinite intelligence. I do believe that when we seek, we find. And I wanted to share with you just a little bit of what came to me this morning when I was on the treadmill, because I believe it's a great introduction for what we're going to cover on the content portion of the call. And the idea that came to me is, what it means to be a leader. What does it mean to be a leader? Everyone has different definitions. Everyone has different ideas. And John Maxwell says that leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. But what about those people that we see have influence over others? By John Maxwell's definition, we'd call them a leader. But sometimes those leaders make choices that may or may not be in the best interest of the followers. Well, do we still call that person a leader? Maybe a leader in name, but in my opinion, that's not a real leader. That's not the full scope of what a leader is meant to be. And as I was on the treadmill, I had this idea come to me, which basically I was picturing in my mind a leader in the woods holding a flashlight. And there's people, moving together with this leader, and this leader has a flashlight, and nobody else has a flashlight yet. And this leader is shining the way. And the leader, because the leader has this flashlight, he can see further ahead along the path than all of the people that are walking with him or her, right? So the leader's shining this flashlight ahead, and he can see a little bit further. He maybe has access to information that the followers don't have access to. And so because the leader has this flashlight and because the leader has this information, the leader turns around and basically says, hey, guys and gals, I'm making the best decision for me with the information that I have, and here's where I see the best direction. And, that leader relays that information to the followers so that the followers, because they don't have a flashlight yet, they're working on getting that flashlight. They're working on, being able to have that information and have that experience and have access to that flashlight so they can see a little bit further, but they don't have it yet. So the leader turns around and says, here's the best information I have. Here's the best direction that I can see for myself. And because it's the best direction I see for myself, it's the best direction I see for you. And the leader's not perfect, and the leader can't see everything, but the leader can see a little bit further than everybody else. Now, where issues come up, in my opinion, is where sometimes the leader will have a flashlight and they'll be moving everyone in one direction and they'll see that maybe the path ahead is a little bit rocky and they see an alternate path and they shine the flashlight over to that alternate path and they realize that, maybe that path might be a little bit better. But because the leader has a vested interest financially in keeping the followers moving in that same direction that they were moving, the leader will kind of jump off on the other path and leave the followers moving on that old path that the leader kind of knows for himself or herself maybe isn't the best path. And a lot of times this happens because there's a vested financial interest. And I'll give you an example of how this has happened in my life. About 2.5 years ago, I was building with a network marketing company. We were marketing a nutritional product. It was a vitamin product. And, I was moving ahead, full steam ahead, and, doing the conference calls, and things were moving well. My belief was high. It was actually about 6 months into my serious study of this book, Think and Grow Rich. And what happened was my major definite purpose at that time was $3,000 a month residual income. And my income in this company was going up. And I had another stream of income that was going up. And it looked like I was definitely going to hit my major definite purpose, my $3,000 a month. It would have been December of 2010, which that was the goal date for my major definite purpose. I can't remember if it was the 1st or the 31st. So here I am moving ahead, $3,000 a month, you know, prospecting, doing conference calls, leading my team. And the company owner, I remember it very clearly. I was actually in my car driving to the Salt Lake City airport to get on a plane to fly to a conference. It was an internet marketing conference where I was going to learn some more about internet marketing. And I was driving down the freeway on my way to the airport, and there was this conference call that the company owner had called together with the leaders, the top leaders in the company. And this, by the way, give you a little bit more detail to the story. A few months previously, there was a piece of the compensation plan that had a higher payout residually. They actually were giving you triple pay per customer residual in your group if you hit a certain achievement rank. I can't remember what it was called. It was like executive vice president or something. And so that really was one of the reasons I got excited about this company, was because there was such a high payout residually for the effort. And those of you who know me, you know that one of my philosophies on choosing a vehicle is you want to have something that's going to give you a decent payout per person residually in your home business, so that you don't have to build a team of hundreds and thousands of people to make a good income, right? That's MLM traditionally. Well, anyway, what ended up happening is the company owner came out and said, hey guys and gals, we're going to change things up a little bit. We're going to remove this piece that gives you triple payout. And because I know that there are some of you that are working towards it, like me, Paul Hutchings, I was really working towards that. He said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you guys 2 months to qualify and hit this rank. And then once you qualify, we're going to take it away so that you guys are grandfathered in and everyone else will come in at the lower pay rate. Well, at the time, I said to myself, okay, well, I'm going to work really, really hard to get to that higher pay rank. But looking back, I realized that that's a terrible, terrible thing to do. To get to a pay position where you're earning a higher level of income than all of the people that you're bringing into the business, that, in my opinion, is not a good thing. Because when you're out there promoting the business, even though you're grandfathered into a higher pay rate, you're not at the same level as your followers. When you look at the people that you're endeavoring to serve and bring into the business, and you're telling them, you know, this is a great business, but in the back of your mind, you know that, well, yeah, it's a great business because I'm getting triple the pay, but, you know, John or Sally here, they're not going to have triple the pay, but, you know, I'm going to tell them it's a great business. That's bull, in my opinion. And I didn't know it at the time because I was still growing in my leadership, but it's not right. Same thing, you know, I have the same opinion for when companies will come out and offer salaries to their leaders, for performing leadership duties. Well, if you're getting a salary from the company and you are teaching your people, your followers, how on earth are you going to have integrity to hold the light ahead and lead your people on the right path if you have a vested interest in keeping them on the same path, even though you might know that maybe another path is going to be better, right? So that's the problem with giving certain people in the company higher pay, is that, you know, your flashlight now is somewhat tainted. And you might jump off in another direction because you know it's a better path, but you're going to keep holding the flashlight over on that other path that's maybe heading towards the cliff, and your followers are going to keep going down that direction because the company's paying you more to do that. Well, that's where you lose, in my opinion, your true leadership. Leadership is not just influence, because we have leaders all throughout history who have had influence, but they've done terrible things, and Hitler is always the one that comes to mind. So in my opinion, leadership is not just influence. It's influence that has integrity. It's influence that's leading people in the best way that you know how. And you can only do that when you do not have a 100% vested financial interest, it's where you're not depending upon your life to keep people moving in a certain direction. It's when you're in a position where you can make choices and decisions that are good for everybody. So anyway, back to my story. I'm driving down the road in my 2000 Honda Civic, and And the company owner calls this special conference call. And this, by the way, was about a month after I had worked my butt off to hit the executive vice president level and get that triple pay. And it was about a month after leaders in my team, one in particular, one of my good friends here in Southeast Idaho, worked his butt off and actually borrowed money from his mom to buy his way to the top. You know how sometimes people buy positions and, you know, get to the next level. He had borrowed money from his mother so that he could do this because we had joined this company for that triple pay, and now it was being removed. And the company owner says, well, we'll give you guys X amount of time to qualify for it. So we were doing whatever we could to get to that level. Well, about a month after both my friend and I had achieved that level, I'm driving in Salt Lake to get on the airport, and he calls this special conference call with the executive vice president. And he says, he gets us all on the call, and he says, hey, folks, we've realized that, you know, the growth in this company is not coming from the executive vice president, you who are on the call. And so we're going to make a change, and we're going to take away that pay. We're going to move it all the way back down, you know, to where it was before. And this is just the way it is. And come to the convention here in a month, and it's going to be awesome. And then he proceeded to hype up the company, and then he hung up the phone. No apology, no reasoning for why he was doing this. No, hey guys, I know I gave you my word. I know I promised you that you were going to have this pay, and I'm sorry, but we had to make this decision for the viability of the company. None of that. I would have maybe understood if there was some good reasoning behind why he did what he did, but there was none. Just got us on the call and said, we're going to take this away. So what I did at that point in time, now keep in mind, I've got a team, right? What I did is I saw with my flashlight that path ahead was not good, that it was maybe moving towards a rocky cliff. But I had a little bit vested financial interest in keeping my team moving in that same direction. So what did I do? What did I choose to do in December of 2010? I chose to quietly slip away from the leadership ranks of that company, and I started building another company, which has been a major, major miracle in my life. But what happened was the regret that I have and the lesson that I learned is that I left my followers moving in that same direction, and I just kind of disappeared. And I feel bad about that as I think back on that situation, because I realize now that at that point in time, I had a flashlight that was a little bit brighter that could see a little bit further ahead. And that's why my team was following me, because I had made some choices in my life. I had done some extra studying. I had done some extra due diligence. I had taken a little bit more action than my team. And because of that, I had this flashlight in my hand where I could see a little bit further. Okay. So real leadership, in my opinion, is influence, yes, but it's also influence where you're making the best decisions that you know how, and you're giving that information to your team so that they can make the best decisions that they know how. And there's no cloudiness of judgment because you have a vested financial interest in keeping other people moving in one direction when you're going to move another direction. So that's leadership, folks. That's leadership. When we have a flashlight and we can see a little bit further ahead and we're trying to help people make good decisions in their lives, that's what leadership is to me. And I wanted to share that thought and that story with you because today we're going to go through the major attributes of leadership, and Dr. Napoleon Hill is going to teach us a little bit more about how to be a good leader. And that's where the money is, folks. That's where the big money is. You can make a decent income. You can probably get to $500, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 a month without big leadership. You're still going to have to be a leader. You're still going to have to influence the people that you're prospecting and the people that you're, you know, endeavoring to influence to join your company, and that's leadership. That's influence. But to really get to higher income levels, we've got to develop great leadership. So this is really one of the most important topics we can cover. So let's go through quickly the major attributes of leadership so that we can learn more about what it is to be a real leader, and then we'll open up the lines for masterminding so that we can learn from each other. So Dr. Napoleon Hill teaches the following are important factors of leadership. Number one, unwavering courage based upon knowledge of self and of one's occupation. No follower wishes to be dominated by a leader who lacks self-confidence and courage. No intelligent follower will be dominated by such a leader very long. Two, self-control. The man who cannot control himself can never control others. Self-control sets a mighty example for one's followers, which more intelligent will emulate. Three, a keen sense of justice. Without a sense of fairness and justice, no leader can command and retain the respect of his followers. Four, definiteness of decision. The man who wavers in his decisions shows that he is not sure of himself. He cannot lead others successfully. Five, definiteness of plans. The successful leader must plan his work and work his plan. A leader who moves by guesswork without practical definite plans is comparable to a ship without a rudder. Sooner or later, he will land on the rocks. Six, the habit of doing more than paid for. One of the penalties of leadership is the necessity of willingness upon the part of the leader to do more than he requires of his followers. Seven, a pleasing personality. No slovenly, careless person can become a successful leader. Leadership calls for respect. Followers will not respect a leader who does not grade high on all of the factors of a pleasing personality. Eight, sympathy and understanding. The successful leader must be in sympathy with his followers. Moreover, he must understand them and their problems. Nine, mastery of detail. Successful leadership calls for mastery of details of the leader's position. 10. Willingness to assume full responsibility. The successful leader must be willing to assume responsibility for the mistakes and the shortcomings of his followers. If he tries to shift this responsibility, he will not remain the leader. If one of his followers makes a mistake and shows himself incompetent, the leader must consider that it is he who failed. 11. Cooperation. The successful leader must understand and apply the principle of cooperative effort and be able to induce his followers to do the same. Leadership calls for power, and power calls for cooperation. There are two forms of leadership. The first and by far the most effective is leadership by consent of and with the sympathy of the followers. The second is leadership by force, without the consent and sympathy of the followers. History is filled with evidences that leadership by force cannot endure. The downfall and disappearance of dictators and kings is significant. It means that people will not follow forced leadership indefinitely. The world has just entered a new era of leadership between leaders and followers, which very clearly calls for new leaders and a new brand of leadership in business and industry. Those who belong to the old school of leadership by force must acquire an understanding of the new brand of leadership, cooperation, or be relegated to the rank and file of the followers. There is no other way out for them. The relationship of employer and employee, or of a leader and follower in the future, will be one of mutual cooperation based upon an equitable division of the profits of business. In the future, the relationship of employer and employee will be more like a partnership than it has been in the past. Napoleon, Kaiser Wilhelm of Germany, the Tsar of Russia, and the King of Spain were examples of leadership by force. Their leadership has passed. Without much difficulty, one might point to the prototypes of these ex-leaders among the business, financial, and labor leaders of America who have been dethroned or slated to go. Leadership by consent of the followers is the only brand which can endure. Men may follow the forced leadership temporarily, but they will not do so willingly. The new brand of leadership will embrace the 11 factors of leadership described in this chapter, as well as some other factors. The man who makes these the basis of his leadership will find abundant opportunity to lead in any walk of life. The Depression was prolonged largely because the world lacked leadership of the new brand. At the end of the Depression, the demand for leaders who are competent to apply the new methods of leadership has greatly exceeded the supply. Some of the old type of leaders will reform and adapt themselves to the new brand of leadership. But generally speaking, the world will have to look for new timber for its leadership. This necessity may be our opportunity. And ladies and gentlemen, it absolutely is our opportunity. There is no overabundance of leaders at the top right now. There is plenty of room and there is plenty of need for new leaders to rise up, take their place, be honest, be ethical, believe in what they're doing, and communicate a vision to the people that are a part of that movement. There is no lack of need for this type of leader. So my encouragement for myself and everyone on this call is endeavor to be a leader, endeavor to seek, endeavor to find answers, endeavor to make good choices for your life, your family's life, the people that you care about, and make sure those choices are in harmony with your communication to the people that you're endeavoring to lead. You know, Lindy, one of my, just an amazing leader, just an amazing person. She's one of our valued callers. She said something on a call a week or so ago that I think is relevant to point out. She said, integrity is when your public life and your private life are in perfect harmony. So it's when you're not hiding who you are in front of a group of people. You're being yourself. You're being who you are. You're not saying one thing in private and saying another thing in public. And I think that's very applicable to our discussion on leadership. So, folks, I'll tell you, this has come at just the right time for me in my life. And I'm excited to hear the mastermind discussion as I open up the lines and we talk about leadership. Give me just one moment here. Star 6 to unmute your line. Come on out.
Good morning, Paul.
Ben, I love you, man. Good morning.
I love this. I love this subject. I love this chapter. There is truly a shortage in leadership. The things that are going on in this world we live in are in such chaos because there's such a shortage of leadership. And it does come right back down to integrity. I mean, there are some rules that, now I often say that, as far as the church and religion is concerned, you hear me speaking on those things quite a bit, but there's a couple of sayings like, do unto others the way you would have them do unto you, and treat other people the way you want to be treated. Those things are very, very sound, and I think as leaders we need to do that. And leaders need to show people the way to go, but they need to go that way first. Otherwise, not ask someone to do something that I'm not willing to do. And when it comes to things, I'll just name a couple of things like Remington, a rifle, and a Walmart, and Bush, who was president. If people only had some real ideas, some of the things that go on with some companies and with some so-called leaders, the manipulation, the lies, the games that are played, the lives that are lost. And I'm sorry, the way we blindly follow those kind of people, Remington has weapons out there that they knew were unsafe, and yet spending just 5 cents per weapon would have made those items safer, and because of the bottom line, they refused to do that. Or Bush, who sent all these people off to die, based on just absolute lies that were so obvious. Walmart and the misuse of people and the people making 17 cents a day that make a lot of those items, and They know how those people are treated, and they ignore that. I mean, if a lot of us really took a good look at a lot of what we call leaders, and you realize that that's not the case at all. And I agree. We have to deal with what's in our heart and what we really feel, and that is more important than the bottom line. And it's just unfortunate that there are so many people that will prostitute and sell themselves off for the name of the buck. And believe me, there are things that are much more important, and that is truly to be true to oneself. I'll let it go at that for right now, Paul, and just turn it back over to you.
Melvin, I surely appreciate those comments, and you hit the nail on the head when you said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That really does kind of sum it up. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, my friend. Paul, Mr. Hutchins, how are you?
I am excellent, Rick Martin. How are you? Thanks for asking.
I'm doing fantastic, and it certainly sounds like you are. My friend, the topic is an incredible topic. Leadership, there's a lot of definition, as you say. And the fact that you brought out, you talk about it with that flashlight, it's kind of incredible. I could tell you a story about all that after growing up in Jamaica in the bushes, after coming out and living in the city for a while. But it's interesting. I'll leave that for another day. But leadership is a guy who gets out there getting things, paving the way for others to follow. It's a gift. It's a gift that people decide. People that follow leader, it's an actual gift. You don't just automatically decide to become a leader. The people choose to follow you because they like where you're going. They like what you're doing. But you pave the way. You take steps. They know you're not perfect. They know this. They ought to know it. They don't. But they choose to follow you. A decision they make, have a responsibility to themselves to decide, to understand that no one is perfect, but you may be the perfect person for them to lead them to where they want to go. It's one of the most wonderful things. You know, the word integrity for me and leadership is an important thing. But to understand that integrity is really comes from integer, meaning whole. And you mentioned what Lindley speak about. It's one and one, and it cannot be different. You cannot be three quarters. You cannot be nine tenths. It has to be whole, true and true to yourself, as Melvin said. It's an important topic, and it's one of the topics that most people don't want to talk about. It's really the key. And I commend you for stepping out and paving the way. Paving the way. No matter what comes out in front, no matter what potholes you jump into, you jump in there first and let people know, hey, there is some pothole, some danger up ahead. I went as a forward looker to see and to make sure the way is safe for you. That is the leadership, in my opinion. My friend, we're living in the greatest economic shift of our lifetime. The greatest economic shift. We are living, if you're on this call today, you know this. And if you don't, you ought to know that. The opportunities out there, you're a leader on this call. You step out, you pave the way for others to see. There is no space left for the rugged individual. No one makes it alone. Teamwork, as we have it on this call, is what's going to help us. Not to just survive. Survival, I believe, is for animals. To live a fantastic life. That's what I hope you're on this call to do. And Paul, right back to you. Have a wonderful day, my friend, and enjoy the day. Thank you very much.
Rick, I truly love what you've shared, my friend. Wow, very powerful. one of the things that I wrote down, you said a lot of great stuff. No one is perfect, but you may be the perfect person to lead them where they want to go. Wow. Thank you for that. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Mr. Mark Myers.
Hey, how's it going today?
Good, good.
This thing of leadership, I was made to think of a illustration that actually my next oldest brother saw over in the Holy Lands. Shows a true picture of a leader. When you see a flock of sheep coming into town, and all of a sudden they are starting to, you see a man that's coming behind them and they scatter, that's the butcher. But when you see a man out in front and they are following him, that's the shepherd. So in order to be a true leader, and I agree with what Malvin and also Rick has said, you have to lead by example. And to be a great leader, you need to assimilate great leaders. You need to find a mentor, and some people are born natural leaders. They just have that. Well, I don't know if they can be born natural leaders. There has to be some kind of influence there, either their parents or their grandparents or someone has influenced them to step up and take leadership. And some do have a natural, some can be bullies too, but to be a natural leader, I think you have to have a love in your heart for people. And I appreciated what Napoleon Hill said about a pleasing personality, because it's a whole lot easier to follow somebody that you can enjoy being with than somebody that demands you to do this or do that. When you can lead with love and concern, people will follow you, just as those sheep would follow that shepherd, because he would leave the flock and go get one that has been lost or hurt and bring it back. And the sheep understand, they have that sense that this guy really cares for them, this man really cares for them. And he feeds them, he takes them to the water, he takes them to where they can eat. But when the butcher comes, boy, they scatter, because they know this guy wants to cut them up. And so just we need to show them people that we care for them. And what's the saying? People don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think that's a true sign of a leader. Back to you, Paul.
Wow. Wow. Mark. Wow. I know it just feels like the inspiration's flowing on this call today. So let's keep it moving. Thank you, Mark. Beautiful comments. Make sure you star 6 and mute your line out if you've spoken so we can keep the lines clean.
Hey, Paul, this is Frank.
Hey, Frank.
How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm great. You know what's really cool about leadership is that I suppose you can be a born leader, but leaders can also be made. Leaders can be created. In fact, that's what we're doing every day that we get on this phone call. We're creating leaders because each and every one of us, that's our intention. Our intention is to become a leader and help other people realize their dreams. And the people that are helping us, our mentors, yourself, Todd Young, Doc France, so many others, Mel, we are leaders that were made, and we're making ourselves every single day. Every single day that we're on this phone call, we create a little bit more leadership, and that's going to benefit everybody else who we talk to in the future, because we're going to teach them to become leaders as well. And that's what's great about leadership, that it's not just, you don't have to be born leader. If you don't feel like you've been a leader all your life, you can learn how to be a leader. You can learn how to care for other people. As a matter of fact, it's part of our manifesto that we love all humanity. And that's what the key is. The key is that you love all humanity. Because if you deal with everybody in love, then they're going to follow you, and you're going to change your personality. You're going to make it into a pleasing personality, and they're going to follow your lead and become leaders themselves. So I think that's a great thing about leadership, that we can actually learn it and engender it in our lives. Back to you, Paul.
Well said, Frank, and I believe that's absolutely true. Leaders can be made. When's the last time you saw a little baby leading a big network marketing team? You know, we're made into leaders. And here's the beautiful thing is that we can all choose to be a leader. And that's really where leadership comes from, is that individually you make a choice to start making better decisions in your life for yourself. You know, I think of Elise on this call. A little while ago, she made the choice to stop smoking. That's a leadership decision. She made a decision for her own life to start making better decisions. Well, when you make good decisions in your own life, then, you know, people obviously that maybe don't have that flashlight, they want to follow you because you're making good choices. So that choice starts with each of us in our own hearts and our own lives. And we can all become leaders. I truly believe that. Star 6, who's next?
Hi, Paul. It's Bill Wedge.
Hey, Bill. Good morning.
Good morning. I was thinking maybe not everybody wants to be a leader. If everybody wanted to be a leader, there would be no followers. And I think as a leader, we have to respect the fact that, you know, it's just like a network marketing.
Hey, Bill, we're getting feedback. Bill, just you, star 6, and unmute your line, please.
Just like when somebody goes into network marketing, some people come in because they just want to have their products paid for. And then some people want to come in because they want to make a lot of money. Some people want to make it a career. Some people don't. And I think we have to recognize that fact and help guide them into the direction that they want to go and not force them to go in the direction that we think they should go.
Excellent point. Yep, excellent point. Absolutely. Appreciate that. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, Paul.
Hey,
how
good
are
morning,
you today?
Neville. I'm great. How are you?
Magnificent. I'm blessed and highly favored. Under the leader, you make beautiful things. You make beautiful things. Out of our lives. That's a leader's job, to make beautiful things out of the lives of those who follow him. And everybody here started off, Melvin, Rick, and everyone else who stepped up here said right. And even sometimes, the young man who mentioned the shepherd, we treat others as we want others to be treated. And just to go back first where you began, and sometimes you have to step back, walk away, because your principles that you want are not there. And when you live by integrity and you act by integrity, you might suffer for a little bit. When does it suffer? You have to step back and give up what you had achieved so that you can get your foot on solid ground, build yourself a proper foundation so you can move forward. And that's what you did. Because if you had kept on going on the course that you were going, sure you'd have made money. You may have made a lot more money than you're making now. But what about and your personal self? What about your happiness? That's part of the wealth that you're building for yourself. That's part of the wealth you're building for your family. That when you come home, when you do your things, you don't come home with mad or upset or treat your wife or children bad. You walk into your home or with them. You can come on this phone each day and you can be excited for what you're doing. What you're doing is being done from honesty with all your heart. You're doing unto yourself as you have done to you. And you don't get tired from doing this. You love doing this. And that's why because you love doing this, you're able to do it in such a way that your instincts now, or the ether to live, is now flowing in your direction from other people of integrity that will help you to continue to grow and build your faith. Yes, there are people with integrity out there. There are people whom I can trust. There are people whom I can lean on, and because they're walking in the way so that all of us can grow together and all of us can become super, super leaders. And I look back at one thing, and something we didn't look at, and when the young man spoke about the sheep and how the sheep follow their leader, why does the sheep follow their leader? If we look back in the Bible, the 23rd Psalm, it tells you that the Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd, you have a shepherd who guides you. He made me to lie down in green pastures. And what does a sheep need with green pastures? Lots of food. He has so much food to eat. They eat and have a time to rest and chew his cud, because before he can digest his food. And then it walks in beside the still water. What is the still water? Because sheep cannot drink where water is not still, because they're stubble-legged, they're trip easy, and they don't swim. So you figure this out now. They can't swim or whatever. So if they go where the water is rough, they can't drink, and they're scared of the noise of the water, so they will die from thirst. And not only did they lead them to still water, he leads them in the way of righteousness, integrity, honesty. And because of that, they'll go through the valley of death with you, because they know that you're out front leading, and wherever you lead them, they'll follow, because wherever you go, you're sacrificing first. You put yourself there first to give them protection. So leadership is that we never have to hold our head down or avert our eyes when we speak to somebody. We never have to come home and look at and hold our head down to our family. And when your children grow up and they're walking and they say, "You know Paul Hutchins? Oh, man, Paul Hutchins is an awesome guy." No, you never have to worry about someone telling you the children, but Paul Hutchins is something. Then you'll live the life, because you know very well that basically you want your wife and your children to be proud of you at all times. And if you can walk through life doing that, knowing very well that you stepped on no one willfully, but you help everybody you can become better, then you're living your life at home and abroad. Thank you, Paul. Back to you, and God bless.
Beautiful words of wisdom from a very wise man, Neville. I love those thoughts, and always love hearing your beautiful singing voice, my friend. Brings joy to my soul. Thank you for that. Star 6, who's next?
Paul, Travis Bird.
Hey, good morning, Travis.
How you doing, sir?
Good, man. Great to hear you on the line today.
Man, I just had to pop in here with this fantastic call about leadership, and just makes me think about this fantastic weekend that we spent together for 3 days, and how blessed I was to get to spend time with you, Mr. John Chapman, Mr. Greg Stadler, and many other people that are just incredible leaders. You know, this weekend that we all spent together was just, it was about, the whole weekend basically was about being a leader and learning to be a leader. And when it comes to being a leader, I realized that before you can ever become a leader, you have to at some point start to believe that you can be a leader. And in my personal life, I've been, you know, I've had a contracting business for 20 years now, where I've led tens of people for 20 years. And I feel like I've done a pretty good job at that. But I never valued myself enough as a leader to think that I could ever lead thousands of people. But as I get around more and more leaders through events and just through time and over time, I've realized that my leadership capacity will grow as I grow. And as my team grows, I will continue to grow with them and continually be able to be a better leader for that team. And what everyone on this call has said is just absolutely true. There's nothing more you can do than to become a great leader and to help people realize their true potential. And I think maybe that may be the best thing you can do for anyone as a leader, is to help people realize their greatest potential. And I just want to say that I appreciate everyone on the call, and I appreciate you, Paul, and I appreciate everyone that I got to spend time with this weekend, because you all affected my life. And I know you're going to continue to affect my life. So I love being on this call, and I love to hear from everyone and all your stories. Back to you, Paul.
Travis, man, wow. Thanks for coming out. That was beautiful. I've got to – here, let me – And I just want to say, you absolutely can lead. And another nice thing about being aligned with a group of people that are moving in the same direction is, as you're learning leadership, you can rely on, you know, the talents and experience of other people, and you can lead together with others. You don't have to be on the mountain all by yourself. You can lead together with others. And that's exciting for me, you know, because I like to lean on others that have a brighter flashlight than me. And it's a great principle. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Good morning, Paul. It's Lindy.
Hey, Lindy. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question, and this may be a little controversial, but it's been weighing heavy on my heart, and the subject and your opening has really brought it to the surface, and I feel like I need to ask a question to a lot of you that have a lot more experience than I have, because you mentioned, and many leaders have mentioned, how many different networking opportunities that they've been involved with over the years. So...
Yep.
You know, when you're going through life and you're making decisions and you're learning and growing, and you know, you're stepping up into the leadership and people are following you, and you come to a dead end or things change and things aren't the way that you thought they were, because you're out front and you see that with your flashlight,
mm-hmm.
and you make the choice for yourself to change directions. You're not quitting, you're changing directions, because that's
yep.
the best choice for you.
Yep.
What is the proper way to, I mean, you know, I've heard so many different stories, you know, about somebody deciding that they need to go in a different direction, because let's face it, we all have to make a living. We're
yep.
all trying to be the best we can in this industry, and we're all at different levels at different times. We're all looking to leaders to kind of shine that light in a direction, and we learn about different leaders, and we find one that is most in line with our values and morals and work ethic, and we are, you know, treading the path behind them, and we've got people behind us too.
Mm-hmm.
And when you make a decision for yourself, no one has a right to criticize you for that,
mm-hmm.
because you have to do what you have to do. And, you know, it's such a double-edged sword to make a choice to just quietly go away whenever people behind you are going, what happened?
Yep.
Or to let your followers know what your choices are. You know, it's such a sticky situation.
Yeah.
But, you know, whenever you truly have a heart to help others, truly, I mean, you don't want to discourage them if they're, you know, moving and grooving and everything's going well for them in something.
Yeah.
But
yep.
you also don't want to pull them off their path, and you don't want to, you know, because not everybody's going to agree with you no matter what you choose.
Yep.
So what should we do? You know, and I'm not sure I should say this, but I'm going to. No one has a right to threaten somebody else just because they don't do what they think they should do, and they're not doing what's going to benefit that first person anymore. So, you know, anyway, that's my input, my question. It's quite a conundrum, And some input on that, but from those of you that have done it many times, would maybe help all of us be stronger leaders and to be more understanding when each of us have our own choices to make and each of us get to live with the consequences of the choices, good or bad. Back to you, Paul.
Lindy, that's a great question. Go ahead, Melvin.
I've had to deal with this issue many times. And one of the things you'll find is many companies that you get in, once you're in, you see a whole new perspective than what you've seen before. And another thing you find is as you move up in a company, oftentimes you start understanding and knowing things that you didn't know before. And if you stay true to yourself and your integrity, you're going to have to not just follow and keep going along with that. I think the best thing is to do is to be honest with people as much as you possibly can. Be straight with them. Let them know what you're doing and why you're doing it. Want the best for them and to share that, not to try to manipulate them or take them your way. I know there's a lot of people out here that call themselves leaders, and they'll go from one outfit to another, and they'll just drag everybody along with them. And a lot of time that's based on manipulating. I think we should just be as true and as honest with people as we possibly can. I heard you say something, Paul, about thinking that you had such a responsibility to all your people, but a responsibility is to allow them the right to make their decisions. You can't do that for them. And so we're back to the integrity. We're back to being truthful. We're back to telling it like it is. And there's a lot of companies that make changes, and when they make those changes, we can't. We have to go another direction because that change is not good for us or not good for others. So it's a beautiful question that she brought up and asked, and it's something we all have to deal with. Back to you, Paul.
Melvin, you answered that beautifully, and I just want to highlight a little bit of what you said. Like Melvin said, you don't want to just think that there's this frenzy and you got to go out and recruit everybody and you got to go out and bash the company and you got to go out and show everyone how bad, none of that. What Melvin said was perfect. The people that you have direct influence with, probably venture to say your personal enrollees. Just let them know the facts as you see them without any intent on your part to recruit them. That's where things get muddy, is where your goal is not to just get the truth out as you see it, but your goal is, I got to recruit everybody, and I got to get out there and tell everyone this and that, and it's an emergency and I got to do it. None of that. I think the thing to do is just communicate. Just communicate the facts as you know them. Let people know the decision that you've made, why you've made it, and then move forward. And those that want to go, and those that don't. And you move forward in your direction, and you feel good about your life, you've made the right decision for yourself. And people will criticize. They will. And you know what? They do have the right to criticize. We all have the right to communicate as we want to communicate and make those choices. But we also have the right to ignore that criticism. And that's one of the things we strive to, learn how to do on this call, is make the right choices and know that we will be criticized. Some of the greatest movements in history, in fact, I'd probably venture to say all of them faced fierce criticism and opposition and downright hatred and people trying to bring that stuff down. So don't think that we're not going to face that stuff. Let's grow up, be real, and understand we will. But at the end of the day, like Neville said, happiness and knowing we've made the right choice and we can live with our decisions with integrity, that's worth more than money. Money's important. It's vital. We got to have it to live, and it does contribute to happiness. But, I'd rather make less money and know that I can sleep well at night and know that I've been honest with people. That is vitally important. Hope that helps a little bit, Lindy. Wow, this is a very interesting call. Anyone else want to jump out here for a final comment? We've got about 1 minute left.
Hey, Paul. Yeah. Bob Wright here.
Hey, Bob. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing? I just wanted to chime in here. As you know, that I've gone through that same situation, and I'm actually in the same place that you were speaking of when you started the call. And two things I want to talk, I just want to mention is that, you know, the reason I chose to, follow you and to start, try to get involved with you when I met you, because simple reason was not just that you're a leader, but that you're a true student of leadership. Because that's what I, you know, what I tend to do, you know, and I was aspiring to leadership many years ago and somehow got off track, or I thought I arrived or whatever. And you never really arrive. You have to continue your quest to that leadership position, because there's always always somebody that you can follow or to, you know, get involved with that knows a lot more than you do. And so it's a journey. It's not a destination. And secondly, just to expound on what you're talking about now with Lindy's question, you know, I was in that position about 4 years ago with a company I had been with for 15 years that I did very, very well in. And I had to make the toughest decision of my life. I was earning anywhere from $8,000 to $18,000 a month in that business. And they changed regime and made some changes. And I had a pretty big team. I was doing pretty well. And I had to make a decision, a moral decision, when they made these changes. And it was really a very tough decision financially because of the income. But morally, I literally, within 24 hours, wrote a resignation and left that company completely, simply because I just couldn't do what they, you know, make the changes and what they were doing to the organization. I won't go into the company or what they did, but that is, it's just, I believe, what everybody, I can't answer it any better than any of you answered it. But that was a decision I made, and it helps somebody to know that it's okay to walk away from that kind of income for your moral standards. Then that's what you have to do, and regardless who follows you. And it was, you know, and a lot of people still look up to me for that. And some people didn't. Some people stayed there, but I didn't really care. That was up to them, and that's really what it comes down to. Back to you, Paul.
Wow! Amazing insight and experience from Bob and everyone. Wow, I tell you, this call, folks, I needed this call. I truly did, and I thank you for being a part of my mastermind. I love you. I appreciate you. And I have faith, everyone, I have faith that when we as people try to make decisions to the best of our knowledge and our ability and try to make the right choices, we will be blessed and things will work out. So trust in that. Let's get out there and make it a great day, folks. It is a miracle to be alive. It is a blessing. And we'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.